good to see you this morning. The Lord bless you. And our visitors, we welcome you as well to the church here this morning. God bless you. And again, as Yvonne mentioned, that Ray is turning. And happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ray. The Lord bless you. I will say this, that I'm presently 77, coming 78, and Ray's just a little bit older than me. So it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Please remember next week we have a visiting preacher when we celebrate the jubilee of our ministry, full-time ministry and ordination. So please remember that. It's going to be a great and a wonderful time. Are you happy this morning? It's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Excuse me stirring and everything like this. Stacy showed me how to be awkward. So I'm just copying her. Today, folk, as we think of the resurrection all over the Western-style Christian churches, they will be celebrating this day, and I think in most of the churches, because it is the most important day. It is the one day in the church, on the church calendar, that we can be absolutely sure that Jesus rose from the dead. It was the first day of the week after the crucifixion of Jesus. And this is that particular day. Now, all over the world, there will be, in Christian churches, the scripture read to you that is going to relate somehow to the resurrection of Jesus. A very controversial subject is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So I've chosen to share with you this morning from Acts chapter 26, verse 8, just a few words of scripture as the Apostle Paul is before King Agrippa giving his defense. And he asks him a question after he's shared his story and experience with the king. He said to him, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" He's God. He can do anything. And why should it be thought incredible that God can raise the dead? Now, I want to go into a message here, and some of us, sometimes, we wonder as we go through life, through the experience of life, and through some of the hardships that we are having, where is the risen Christ? Where is the power and the glory? And today, I trust that our faith in that resurrection will be renewed in a very special way. The resurrection is the greatest event that has ever taken place in the world. The non-believers, the skeptics, the agnostics, they all scoff, they laugh, and they mock at the idea that such an event could ever take place. In fact, many times they say, the resurrection, raising the dead, what next will people come up with? The Apostle Paul, who was at one time a skeptic and a violent opposer of Jesus and of the resurrection, in fact, he hated with a passion this rabbi, as they had called him at some time, Jesus of Nazareth. And he hated the message that came with him, which was the resurrection. It was the Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul of Tarsus, that arrested people and took them, beat them, put them in prison because they believed in the resurrection. But now on this occasion that we have read together, he stands before King Agrippa and he says, why should it be thought incredible by you that God can raise the dead? I paraphrased that a little bit because I need us to understand that God can raise the dead. God can meet your need. God can bless your life. When Peter spoke about Jesus and the resurrection, this is what he said. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The majesty that Peter is referring to in that verse of scripture is the glory of the resurrection. They were with Jesus throughout his entire ministry, and yes, there were times of absolute majesty and glory, but this majesty they could not compare with anything that they had seen. And this is the majesty that motivated them, this risen Christ who came back from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the backbone, it is the foundation of our faith, and it is the source of our Christian life. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christian life. And we need to understand that. The Apostle Paul put the gospel, the meaning of the gospel, the foundation of the gospel, into two verses of scripture. This is what he said. I delivered to you first that which was also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the ending of the Passion Week 2015. For over 2,000 years, people have been celebrating this amazing time. So for 3 days and three nights, Jesus is in the tomb. And I want to just say to you this morning, a lot can happen in 3 days. My prayer is that the resurrection celebration of 2015, the last 3 days, from the time he was buried until today, that we remember his resurrection, a lot can happen. I pray that the magnitude of the events in your life and mine will be blessed, because a lot can happen in a few days. The verses of scripture that I've shared with you contain all of the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, it would be true to say that the heart of the message of the gospel lies squarely in these verses. You just take those two verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Just two verses. And the entire gospel is included in those particular verses. The resurrection of Jesus adds substance and it gives purpose to living the life of a victorious believer. 3 days in the tomb, but man, a lot can happen in 3 days. And a lot can be transferred into our lives on this resurrection day, because a lot can happen in 3 days. The death and the resurrection is not a cleverly thought out scheme to keep us religious. It's in fact a reality and the backbone of our faith relationship. Isn't it beautiful? It's absolutely lovely to know that this is what can take place. I read a message on Facebook where somebody had criticized the resurrection. And of course there was some feedback, and they said the resurrection, the Christian holidays, needs to be removed from South Africa altogether. Take away Good Friday, take away Easter Monday. They are just wasting money. This is a secular state. And they began to mock and comment on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But there was one black man, Thabo somebody, who wrote his comment, and he said, I want to say this, that Christianity has given to us the blessed message of the risen living Christ. Say what you want to say, but nothing can change that. But that can change South Africa. And that is the glory. You know, when Satan succeeded in having Jesus crucified, he had this thought in mind: at last, I am killing the Lamb of God. We've got to see this, what this man Thabo wrote. He spoke about the crucifixion and the resurrection as giving hope to South Africa. So when Satan succeeded in having Jesus crucified, he actually thought he was killing the Lamb. It was John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 that said Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Satan, from the moment of his birth right through, was bent on killing this Jesus. Now he had a reason. He would kill the Lamb. And he tried a few times to do that. In Matthew chapter 4, he took Jesus onto the temple mount and he said, throw yourself off of the temple, for it says he will give his angels charge of you. He was trying to kill Jesus. In Nazareth, the people tried to throw him off of a cliff and kill him. Many times through the Gospels we read that they wanted to stone him. Satan was behind this. Even the Samaritans got on the bandwagon in trying to kill Jesus. They had threatened to kill Jesus. Now, John the Baptist said Jesus was the Lamb of God. That was a statement that was made. But the Lamb had to be selected. According to Exodus 12, verse 3, when they were in Egypt and getting ready to leave and getting ready for the Passover and getting ready to kill the first Passover lamb, the lamb had to be selected. And this brings me to the place in the Gospel of John when there was a huge controversy in among the religious leaders about this Jesus of Nazareth. So the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, they were discussing the problem which they believed was Jesus, and they had to eliminate him. He steps in at this particular case, time takes over the meeting, and begins to prophesy. Now listen to what he says. Do you not consider that it is necessary that one man should die for the people? What is he doing? In the spiritual, he is selecting Jesus to be the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the Passover Lamb. Do you not consider that it is necessary for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation, and do it that the whole nation should not perish? Now, this he did say, did not say on his own authority. He was the high priest of the year. He prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. He selected the lamb. When did he do it? He did it last Sunday. On the Jewish calendar, when the Passion Week began, he selected the lamb. And it happened to be last Sunday that he selected the lamb. And a few days later, Jesus died for the nation. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, as I mentioned, there's some important information there. Although it is a short verse, but there's some important information. The man of the house, obviously the father, had to select the lamb. The first Passover lamb was selected by the father of the household. The last Passover lamb, Jesus of Nazareth, was selected by the father, the spiritual father of the nation. And I think that that is absolutely marvelous to know. Caiaphas was the high priest. He was the spiritual father of the nation. It was he who said, when they discussed getting rid of Jesus, one man must die. He selected the lamb. And you know, when Satan finally succeeded on that day when they took him to the cross, when Satan killed Jesus, I want you to hear this. When Satan killed Jesus, when Satan killed the Lamb of God on the cross, he unleashed to the world the line of Judah. He killed the Lamb of God, but he made provision for the entrance into the world of the line of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 says, the Lion of Judah has prevailed. And that is glorious to know. I made this statement many times when I've preached at Easter time that I'm going to make right now. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he changed the nature of mankind from defeat to the most amazing life of victory that we can ever know. That is an amazing statement, and you can say amen. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he changed the nature of mankind forever from defeat to victory and the greatest life that we can know. There is a new power, or there came this new power in the world with the resurrected Christ. He took his position, as prophetically stated, the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah, the resurrected Christ, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But you know, the church in general in South Africa, we're a little bit too passive. We're a kind of a non-daring people. We're a little bit tame. We are satisfied in our comfort zone with serving God. And we're not all that active in moving forward for the kingdom of God. We enjoy coming to church. We enjoy listening to sermons, reading the Word of God. That's fine. But folk, there's a life to live of victory. Jesus spoke about the fact that the church is to bring forth. There's a saying that teaches us the shepherd doesn't bear the lambs. The sheep do. And you are the sheep. and you are supposed to bear the lamb. So let's get out of this passive mood that we live in, this non-daring, this careful kind of life, this tame attitude, and begin to declare that Jesus, who Satan crucified and killed, God made him both Lord and Christ. It's absolutely amazing to know this. Now, Acts 2:36 is the verse that I quoted, but I changed it a little bit for the purpose of the fact of realizing who actually killed Jesus. Satan killed Jesus. This Jesus who Satan crucified and killed, God has made him both Lord and Christ. The Lion of Judah has prevailed. As we get ready to end this particular sermon, that would be quite a nice place to end it, wouldn't it? Don't say amen too loud because I've still got some to share. Let me ask a question. Do we walk out of the sanctuary of God unmoved, untouched, unchanged, unchallenged? Because all that we have heard to this particular point in time is the usual kind of message that we would expect to hear on the resurrection day. So do we walk out of the sanctuary of God unmoved, untouched, unchanged, unchallenged? God forbid. God grant that by your power and your glory and the reality of the line of the tribe of Judah, the risen Christ, give us the excitement of what this is all about. It's all about Jesus, the living, risen Christ. And he can change and does change our lives. And we ask him, change me, challenge me, move me, touch me, so that I can go out of this church on a higher level in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now the question is, where do we start? Glenn shared with us about carrying baggage, carrying heavy burdens, unemployment, unhappiness, unforgiveness, tension, not speaking to people. There's a whole lot of places that we can start. But you know, I've got a nice place where I'd like to kickstart our request of God, lift me to a higher level. And it's called prayer. It's called prayer. I read in a book this past week that praying women are the reason that the Lord has kept the Christian church alive and open. Now, gentlemen, that should shock us. But this is what the author wrote. It was in his opening chapter. The Lord has used praying women to keep the church alive and open. He says this, he makes this observation. Men are unable to get quick answers, while women are powerful in touching the heart of God. Now, don't get upset. Listen, we need to learn something. This is what we're doing. Moses obviously was a man. He prayed for Miriam. He prayed that her leprosy would be healed. And he had to wait for 6 days for that to happen. David, the king, fasted and prayed for days for his infant son, who was critically sick. He fasted and prayed for days. and the baby died. Paul was earnest and serious when he went to God three times. And he earnestly sought the Lord about the thorn in the flesh. And the answer that he got was, live with it. Deal with it. That's all he got from God. And he was one of the most powerful men in the New Testament. Then the author of that book goes on to write this. He says, after studying the Bible for 30 years, I haven't found a woman in the 66 books of the Bible that God did not answer. Now there's a challenge. Read through the Bible and find a woman that God did not answer. It seems, he writes, that woman can touch the heart of God. Woman can move the hand of God. They can change the mind of God. And they can attract the favor of God faster than men can. My prayer today is, folk, that we will be uniquely put together, that we will believe that prayer changes things and people. If we can have the tender heart of a woman, we can touch the heart of God, move the hand of God, change the mind of God, and attract the favor of God into our lives. And it's all made possible through the risen Christ. Yvonne and I were talking in this past week, and I'm nearly finished, as we try to move to a higher level in our relationship with God. We were talking this past week about the Lion of Judah. And we read about the Lion of Judah in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2. As that chapter opens, there's a lot of sadness because there was a scroll that was sealed. The scroll needed to be opened and the seal broken. And I sat thinking about this for a while afterwards, and I almost saw in my imagination my life as a scroll. The life of God's people as a scroll, wrapped up in this piece of paper, in this scroll, wrapped up in the old nature of man. The nature that Jesus died to set us free from. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And I saw myself as a scroll. And I said, Lord, I've got to be freed from this thing. Revelation 5 verse 5 says this, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed, and he will open the scroll and break the seal. What do I want to go home with today from this service? What do you want to go home with? The usual resurrection message? I don't think so. I want to go home with the knowledge that the risen Christ, the Lion of Judah, is worthy to take the scroll that is my life, or wrapped around my life, and break the seals of defeat, of apathy, the lack of faith, of unbelief, of unforgiveness, whatever it is in our lives, that he will break the seal and release us to a higher level of prayer, commitment, and expectation in our relationship with Christ, as we realize anew what the risen Christ, the Lion of Judah, can do through me. The last 3 days of the resurrection season, 2015, can deepen our love for the Lord, can change our lives. A lot can be done in 3 days. As it did then, a crown of thorns was altered to a crown of glory for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, died so that we could live. The Lion of Judah empowers us to continue to believe and live in victory. I want to rise to a new level. I want to arise to a new level. There are some in this church, as I close this message, who need to say like the prodigal son said, as he sat in the pig pen, I will arise and return to my father. Some of us in this church today need to return to our father, to our first love. And there are others of us who need to deal with defeat, apathy, mood swings, anger, unforgiveness. Let's stand. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus to say thank you for the risen Christ. Thank you for the life that we can live. I know that many of us live in a lovely experience of victory. We experience that amazing love of God, but there are those times when Satan comes in like a flood to destroy and to kill. But Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. I pray, Lord, that this resurrection day, you will help us to rise to a higher level, that when Satan attempts to come in, there is a power within us, the power of the risen Christ, through which we can resist and do it in the name of Jesus. With our eyes closed, I'd like to just mention you in prayer. If you have a need and you want to rise to a higher level, folk, I want to rise to a higher level in my relationship with God. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. I'll pray for you. Father, with our hands raised toward you this morning, we want to take with us out of this service the challenge that God lays on us in this resurrection service, that we can be changed. We can be victorious. We can overcome by the power of God. And Lord, with hands raised, I pray that everyone who raised their hands here this morning will walk out of this building having been touched, challenged by the power of the living God, the one who's able to give us victory over defeat. In the name of Jesus, joy in the place of sadness. Father, in the name of Jesus, meet every need, enrich every life, and we will give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.